601-361-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Augustine at 91.9. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we share the truth, dealing with issues each and every day. It is my prayer today that you'll tune in, call others to tune in, joining in the dialogue, the discussion. If you'd like to do that, the lines will be open immediately after our brief monologue. And that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about today, ashamed of the cross. Ashamed of the cross, question mark. As we celebrate Easter, are we ashamed of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed of his death, burial, and resurrection, shedding his rich red royal blood for your sins and mine? Are we ashamed? Ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, let's never forget what Jesus Christ suffered, what he did, and how he died on Calvary's cross, the old rugged cross, shed his rich red royal blood for you and for me. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Easter, or if you prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday, there's some that want to argue and have the sense of consternation. Why do you call it Easter? They want to go back into the archives and say somehow, some way, that was a pagan holiday. Ladies and gentlemen, Easter is mentioned in the Scripture, although it's just one time. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5 talks about it. We'll touch on that in a moment during the course of this broadcast. So if that's your argument, debate, save your breath. I don't have time to argue and debate about whether it's a pagan holiday or a spiritual, religious, biblical holiday. And if you want to call it Resurrection Sunday, do so. That's a fact. If you want to call it Easter, do so. It's a fact. Because you're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll never forget, when Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross, God come in the flesh, the one that was high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, the Scripture describes Jesus. The Scripture says of Jesus, he had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. Jesus Christ, the sinless God-man, died on Calvary's cross. You recall, perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, the text, and I'll give you a brief portion of it, the text where the Lord Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus prayed this prayer. Abba, Father. It means Daddy, Father. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Ladies and gentlemen, the cup that Jesus was speaking of was the cup of sin. There's coming a day when in this world, the cup of sin, for example, will grow to the point of being filled and overflowing. God says enough is enough. Jesus Christ literally, philosophically, theologically, doctrinally, symbolically, became sin for you and for me on Calvary's cross almost a little over 2,000 years ago. And because God cannot look upon sin, God had to deflect his eyes from his Son. And in that moment, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was your sin and mine, in the sins of the whole wide world, that was in that cup. And listen very carefully. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed that prayer. The 15th chapter of Mark, verse 36 and following. When he prayed that prayer, he was fully divine and yet fully human. And in his humanity, he knew what he would suffer. In his divinity, he knew that that cup was sin. And he was bearing the cross, death on the cross, for your sins and for mine. We're going to be talking about that today, the different aspects of the cross, the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection. We'll talk about how some churches, one in particular, is rejecting anything about the resurrection, the death, burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said it's too offensive for a non-believer. Should Christians refer to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? Is it too offensive to the world that somehow, some way, we've got to bifurcate, eradicate, literally leave completely out the truth of why we celebrate Easter to be sure we don't offend someone? What does it mean? I'm told by research that Easter has the greatest number of people going to church than any other season of the year. And if Easter is the rationale and reason for people lost and saved going to church, should we leave out the message of the cross? Should we leave out the message of the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross? Should we simply leave that out because it may offend someone? Bill Hybels, many, many, many years ago, had an interview with Peter Jennings. Bill Hybels was bragging about the fact that in their large, huge campus, they had no crosses. They had no crosses outside, no signs that said church. Looked like a huge office complex. And he said that they would not say anything about the blood of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He said, we do not want to offend anyone. Peter Jennings, which was an agnostic, said, couldn't it be said then that in order to have a sellout crowd, you've sold out the gospel? Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first five verses, points out very definitively that the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the centrality of the gospel of Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about that today. And in a moment, after our monologue, we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Does it offend someone? Does it offend you to say that Jesus died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood for sinners such as I? How should we treat the cross, the resurrection, the shed blood of Jesus? Should we be somehow moot about it for fear of offending someone? Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues each and every day on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's not what I think that counts. It's not what you think or feel that counts. It's not based on some philosophical rhetoric. What we say about issues today is not based on some political dogma or some denominational dogma. We talk about issues based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Scripture says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So, ladies and gentlemen, we speak about the resurrection and the truth of the cross and Easter and the celebration of Easter. We speak of it based on the authority of the Scripture, the truth book. There are those that reject the truth, do not want to admit the truth, do not want to embrace the truth. Many today in the woke culture and in progressive churches do not realize the damage and harm that's being done against the potential of someone saying yes to Christ. It was Franklin Graham just a few months back that said the progressive church sending more people to hell than they could ever realize. Now think about that for a moment. So if you want to be part of the woke culture, the progressive culture, and the mindset that somehow, some way says that I am not going to offend someone by telling the truth, it goes back to what I call the Christless Christianity, and I didn't originate that. Michael Horton, in his book entitled Christless Christianity, talks about the alternative gospel of the American church. You mean the alternative gospel of the American church? It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the woke culture that so many churches today are embracing. I call it the pop-up church with the pop-up preacher with the voodoo theology. It is filled with cotton candy theology. It's tastes good, but it's not filling. A goosebump theology. It feels good, but it doesn't save. And we're seeing more and more of that in society today. So we face the truth. We talk about the truth. We need to talk about it from a central biblicist worldview. That is, what does the Bible say? I go back to the 15th century theologian, church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. Defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge to you on this broadcast each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this part of the portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands with Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen. They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God come into flesh, 100% God and 100% man, he had already suffered the 6 fake, false, phony, illegal trials. He had already suffered the persecution of the wicked hearts of the religious leaders and the political leaders of that day. He'd already been put in a position where they said, crucify Jesus and release Barabbas. And now here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, he did not pray just simply as a human being, although he was in the flesh. He was the God-man. Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. That was the cup of sin that Jesus became for your sins and for mine. But ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, this is why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was in that nanosecond that God the Father turned his back on God the Son, because God the Father cannot look upon sin without judging it. Ladies and gentlemen, today multitudes wear a cross, wear some type of cross. It may be a necklace, a pin, an ornament, maybe an object of beauty, not realizing, ladies and gentlemen, the cross biblically stands for suffering, sacrifice, and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, the tragedy today is that so many, even religious people, appear to be ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of the scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 points out that the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ is his coming into the world, his dying on the cross, being buried, and rose again. That's the centrality of the gospel. In your leisure, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today, Dr.
Doing Jones? Good. I pray that you are. Thank you.
Yes, sir. To me, I have to say that it's Resurrection Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Constantine tried to get to the Roman people to adopt to Christianity, they started, you know, like all their gods that they worship, they started making it into Christianity, should I say it like that? And to me, because, I mean, he was a sacrifice, like they said about doing the third temple. You're going to have the tree huggers and the animals lovers saying you cannot do that. And it's just like how we turning our back on Israel. We are in a conundrum. We are going to be judged by the Lord, by Sleepy Joe doing what he's doing. And I hear
Kenneth, let me jump in for just a moment. I must touch on something that perhaps multitudes are not aware. I'm looking at Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. Talking about the feast of Pentecost and then celebrating Passover. Verse 4 says this, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, we can't say that it was the about 325 with Constantine that, quote, Christianized the world, and he brought about the term Easter coming out of a pagan holiday. If that's so, then the scripture in Acts chapter 12 is fake, phony, and false. Now, I'm not arguing the point. I'm just simply saying for those that want to say that there's something wrong with calling it Easter, they need to go back and study the scripture, because that's exactly what the scripture calls it. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, we need to understand that Easter is mentioned there in the text. And as we understand what the scripture says, it is Easter that we're celebrating now. That's the death, burial, and the resurrection, and the soon coming again of Jesus Christ. So one of the things that I want to impress our listeners with today is to let our listeners see the impact of what took place a little over 2,000 years ago, and how it ought to be celebrated. It ought not to be celebrated as just a pagan holiday. It ought not to be viewed as that. It is not. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question? Okay. I went to churches. We got the Easter Bunny.
Oh, I understand.
And the eggs. And I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with the resurrection of Christ? I mean, I've considered it, and I thought about it. I said, because it's a new birth in a sense, but it was the goddess Easter.
Yeah, one of the things that so many have brought into it, I agree with you. I think it is looking at Easter as a pagan day when you have the Easter bunnies. In fact, I just read recently about a church here in the Jacksonville metropolitan area that was going to have a Easter egg hunt. They would have 20,000 eggs. And the Easter bunny, the article said, may even appear, may come. What has the Easter bunny got to do with celebrating the resurrection of Christ? What's Easter eggs got to do with that? I'm in agreement with you. If every church, every Christian that celebrates Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, in that fashion, you are indeed making it a pagan holiday. And in the Book of Acts, Luke did not know anything about that when he gave the words about Easter and that being a point and time. That's giving a reference point of what time that was spoken of and what they were doing. Easter. So I'm in agreement with you, Kenneth. I believe that we need to recognize it is the holy day, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. If Jesus Christ had not risen, we'd all be dead in our trespasses and sins. It is the greatest calendar day for the child of God, for the Christian. And I believe that Christians ought to celebrate it without any compunction, without being afraid they're going to offend somebody and run somebody away, as some churches are doing today. Kenneth, brother, I pray that you'll have a blessed Easter Resurrection Sunday, celebrating that with your family and the recognition of who Jesus Christ is. He arose, having victory over his foes. Kenneth, thank you, brother, for your call. Have a blessed, holy day. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a question today that begs to be answered. It demands to be asked. Ashamed of the gospel? Ashamed of the cross? Why? Why are you ashamed of the cross? I'm looking at a headline that is frightening to understand. This is in a church that they call a mega church. A mega church that claims to have about 25,000 members in the, quote, various campuses. Let me read you a few brief words from this article. Megachurch won't mention the blood of Jesus on Easter Sunday invitations, dated March 24th. A North Carolina megachurch says they will not mention the words like Calvary, resurrection, or phrases like blood of Jesus to promote Easter services Sunday. Quote, I'm not going to say the word Calvary. I'm not going to say the word resurrection. I'm not going to say the word blood of Jesus. I'm not going to say any of these words that make someone feel like an outsider. Coming from the pastor of Elevation Church. Reading further. Elevation Church is pastored by Stephen Frederick and has more than 25,000 members attending multiple locations across the state. Said it's virtually impossible that people feel super chill when they receive an invitation to attend the church's Easter service. This is what a woke evangelical church looks like, this writer says. Here's the further statement. When we're thinking about such a steeped in tradition holiday like Easter, and how we talk to someone who is not steeped in that tradition, and how we get them to connect it is to it and come to it, that's really important to us, the pastor said. Pro-church tools defended the watered-down message. Michael Bowman, the pastor of East Lumberton Baptist Church, said in the posting, why I have no use for Stephen Frederick, Elevation Church, or its music, end quote. Here's another statement. When you come to ELBC, that's East Lumberton Baptist Church, we mention all of those words of Easter Sunday, the pastor wrote on Facebook. If the bars can mention beer, wine, spirits, the church can certainly mention the blood, Calvary, and the resurrection of Jesus. Elevation Church, he says, seems to think that words like resurrection are dirty and offensive. And what sort of marketing ploy are they using to get people into attending church services on Easter? I can only imagine, this writer says, listen to his imaginary words that this church would use. Hop on down to Elevation Church for a wicked Easter extravaganza. Pastor Steve will deliver a three-point sermon on why we shouldn't put all our eggs in one basket. And he'll be wearing a Bugs Bunny costume. Plus, you'll get your bunny worship with Gen Z worship band, runners up in the 2020 regional American Idol audiences. Further, the article closes with this. The Elevation Church Easter service is nothing more than a self-help sermon accented with snazzy graphics, end quote, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm embarrassed by it being called a church. I'm embarrassed by anyone that calls himself a pastor, preacher, teacher of the Word of God will take that stand that, oh, you know, we're going to invite a lot of people, a lot of lost people to come on Easter Sunday, and if we use these insider understood words, they'll feel uneasy and will not feel part of us. another article about that. Evelation Church is not going to use the words resurrection, the blood of Jesus, or Easter, so it doesn't offend any newcomers. I don't plan now to pull this off, but Stephen Furtick's church is planning to celebrate Easter Sunday without mentioning anything that Easter is all about. Further, he states in this article, an important guiding principle for how we develop language is anyone can be a part of our church, the pastor says. Anyone. Does that mean lost can be a part? No, a lost person can come worship in your church, but a lost person cannot be part of the church. The body of Christ is the church. That's a that's a group of baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says here, let me read it again. An important guiding principle for how we develop language is anyone can be a part of our church. You don't have to understand any fancy languages. So if you're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, now he's calling it the fancy language. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is not a fancy language. It is the simple facts. Jesus Christ was born into the world. He is God come into flesh. He lived and died on Calvary's cross. On the third day, he rose again, having victory over sin, death, and the grave. That's pretty simplistic language. It's not anything about fancy language. This writer goes on to say, looks like, let's look at how the Apostle Paul talked to people in Athens in the first century who knew literally nothing about Judaism or the Messianic prophecies or about Jesus Christ. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commendeth all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Further, he talks about God called people to repent. God judges the world. Directly mentions resurrection, the proof of the claims of the resurrection. And what was the response? It is the response of receiving the gospel gladly. This writer further says, instead of following the model for a dying world, Elevation Church dumbs down the message of the gospel. So much so, in fact, that there's absolutely nothing Christian about it. End quote. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saddened by that. I am frustrated by that. I'm embarrassed by that. And think of how many multiple millions of people will believe that diatribe, and hundreds of thousands will perhaps hear that and think that there must be something wrong with the gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the heart of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. If there's no cross, if there's no death, if there's no suffering, if there's no sacrifice for our sins, there's no salvation. And for that fact, today, in the woke culture and the progressive churches, they seem to be ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul addressed that in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. Romans 1:16, and then you find that also found in 1 Corinthians 1:18. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, those that are lost, those that are having their souls destined for hell. They find it foolishness. That is the preaching of the cross, foolishness, nonsense, absurd. We get our word from that Greek text, foolishness, moronic. The lost person in the world today feels the preaching of the cross, that is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, is moronic, foolishness, nonsense, preposterous, absurd. Therefore, based on the words of Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, we could conclude that the pastor of Evelation Church, Pastor Steve Furtick, F-U-R-T-I-C-K, is evidently lost. That's my opinion. What is yours? How do you respond to that kind of preaching and that attitude and that response to the cross? I said it's coming from the lips, the heart of a lost person. The Bible says, but we, that's the Apostle Paul speaking, preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, that is saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and wisdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? How do you view the cross? How do you view Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, Easter Sunday? I pray that as you celebrate Easter, you'll celebrate it by looking back to Calvary and praising God, thanking Jesus for dying on the cross for your sins and for mine. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University.